Holy One, there is so much we don't understand, and yet we live in the midst of miracles. Be with us this day and teach us. Amen. So we're talking about miracles. Look around. There are miracles in this room. We don't usually even notice them. Miracles. We see them, hear them, touch them, smell them. We don't even notice that they're miracles. We have tasted the wine. We have marveled at its taste. We have wondered at its effect on our minds and our bodies, and never even thought of it as a miracle. I was reading St. Augustine. Augustine was a miracle in his own right. He was born about 300 years after Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. Christianity had spread not just by land but by sea throughout the Roman Empire, from Israel to Greece to Rome to Africa. Where Augustine was born, it's now Algeria, and his mother was a devoted Christian. And today in Catholicism, she's called Saint Monica. But his father wanted him to be a lawyer and sent him off to Carthage at the age of about 16. We actually know a great deal about Augustine because he wrote extensively. He really enjoyed Carthage. He discovered wine and song and a woman, not necessarily in that order. And he discovered law. And he discovered philosophy. Now, you know what they say about philosophy. Philosophy is a gateway drug. If you let your children get involved with philosophy, you have no idea where they're going to go next. So he ran away to Rome. And he opened a school of philosophy and rhetoric. And he became part of the Roman establishment. He was devoted to the woman that he'd brought from Carthage and their son. But he became mired in great depression, moral, philosophical, intellectual, and spiritual crisis. Eventually, with the help of his friend and his son, he came to realize that he was running from a great truth and a great beauty. And he wrote this: "Too late have I loved thee, O beauty so ancient and so new. Too late have I loved thee. Thou wast with me, and I was not with thee. I was abroad, running after those beauties which you have made, those things which could have no being but in thee, kept me from thee. You cried out, though, and you have pierced my deafness. You have enlightened. You have shone forth, and my blindness is dispelled. I have tasted you, and I am hungry for you. You touched me, and I am afire with desire for your embrace." He became a powerful force within the Christian church, a priest, a bishop. When the Roman Empire was in the midst of disintegration, he returned to North Africa to be a bishop. And he led a great surge of Christianity, but not just Christianity. A learned intellectual Christianity that taught about God and beauty, that opened schools of learning, joined the greatest of the intellectual movements of Greek, Egyptian, and other philosophies and intellectual schools into the practice of Christianity. I tell you this to let you know that Christianity has its great roots in the greatest intellects of that early time. People like Monica and Augustine did not give up their intellect or their curiosity or their learning to follow Christianity. It was their intelligence and learning that brought them to Christianity. Questioning, doubting, searching, asking, scientific discovery, appreciation of the universe. These are the very origins of what we now know as Christianity. So we come back to miracles. For us, the idea of miracles and the idea of science and intellectualism don't seem to go together. That kind of faith seems to ask us to set aside our minds, and we're sometimes told that it does. Augustine never saw it that way. So we come to the story about changing water into wine. This is a story that is close to Augustine's heart because he really liked wine. And in the midst of his very intellectual and intelligent peers, he was asked the same questions we're asked. What? A miracle? You don't really believe that stuff, do you? And this is a much shortened version of his answer. The miracle in which Jesus made the water into wine is not marvelous to those who know it was God's doing, for he does it every year in the vines. Just as the Lord turned water in plain pots into wine, remember the clouds pour forth water, we know this, which is changed into wine by the same God. We don't marvel at it or wonder at it because it happens every year. It has lost its marvelous by constant recurrence. And yet, is it not more wonderful than what was done in just 6 water pots? Shouldn't we be overwhelmed with miracles? The power of a single grain of wheat or of any seed whatever is a mighty thing. But we, intent on our own lives, see the results of each grain of wheat and each tiny seed and each acorn, and we no longer marvel. You would think, said Augustine, that we could not even sleep for the wonder of it. A dead man has risen again, says Augustine, and we marvel. So many are born every day, and we do not marvel. If we reflect, isn't it a greater wonder for one to be who was not before than for a man who already lived to come to life again? As we wonder at the things which were done by the man Jesus, so let us wonder at the things which were done by Jesus who is God. By this God were made heaven and earth and the sea and all the garlands of heaven, the abounding riches of the earth and the fruitfulness of the sea. All these things which lie within the reach of our eyes were made by God in Christ. And if we have the gift of the Spirit, the immense beauty of these things will turn us towards understanding of God rather than focus us only on those things for their own sake. And these are just the things that we can see. What of those things that we don't see? The virtues, the powers, the dominions. What of those other wonders? The very idea of justice, the source of mercy, the possibility of compassion. Augustine asked, what about the human soul itself? It is not seen, but by its works shown in the body and its actions. And not just the soul of a man or a woman, but the soul of any beast whatever. See how it regulates a huge body, puts forth the senses, the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the nostrils to smell, the taste to discern flavors. The soul is not apparent to the eyes, yet even the beast does not move without its enlivening. And think of the soul of humanity, on which God has bestowed the understanding to know the Creator, to discern and distinguish between good and evil, between right and wrong. See how many things the soul does in the body. Observe this whole world, how we struggle at our best to arrange a human commonwealth. How we imagine the administrations, the orderly degrees of authority, citizenship, what laws, what manners, what arts. When we see such deeds wrought by Jesus, God, Why should we wonder at water being turned into wine by the man Jesus? This miracle was made by the same one who made all of these things. Let us not wonder that God did it, but love him because he did it in our midst. I suppose it's no accident that he came to that marriage. The miracle apart, there's something mysterious and sacramental in the very fact of his presence. Augustine says, "So let us knock, that he may open to us and fill us with the invisible wine, for we were water and he made us wine, made us wise, for he gave us the wisdom of his faith." It isn't foolishness to believe in miracles. It is foolishness not to see that we are surrounded by them, but to understand what was done. That comes only in praise and in wonder. Amen.